This episode of Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by Native.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
Me, Rodeca, one fat, black, pansexual who's a flight attendant who probably cries too much and uses humor to distract everyone from the fact that we are currently living in the darkest timeline.
Ooh.
And my pronouns are she and her.
And my name is Rob. I am one pansexual, agender feminist with a fatty, pronouns they, them, and daddy.
Nice. And
I am Akua. Pronouns she, her, Akua.
Are you high?
No.
Do you want to be?
No.
On this show.
The darkest timeline.
We have two types of episodes. There are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host, and one of my lovely rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race, and sometimes other things. And on group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives and yours, and sometimes other things. This episode is a group episode, and we're doing something we've never done before. Dun, dun, dun. Thank you. I was like, I need a funk flex bomb or something like that. This episode, because it is spooky season, we are doing our take on the podcast Lore. If you don't know the podcast Lore, it is a horror podcast hosted by a white man. I like that podcast, but I wish it was hosted by not a white man. So that's why we're doing our rendition of it here today. And we're going to call it Whore. And basically, we're going to read you a whole bunch of different horror stories from the black diaspora that have to do with sex, love, and dating, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, we'll do a couple of short segments, and they are...
Bay of the Week,
where we talk about people who we find quite attractive.
Hoe of the Week,
where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week,
where we give you some advice on how to take care of yourselves.
And cute date idea of the week,
where we give a cute date idea.
Can we all fight to the death for this next part?
If you'd like to follow along with this conversation had on this podcast, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag pod in so other people can see it.
And if you would, do you want to read the speaking gigs part, Rob? You want to redeem yourself?
Honestly, it's because I usually don't have to read it. Want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics we discuss on this show? We would love to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Yay.
Did we ever get that Quaker school?
No, they didn't.
All right, so if you are listening to this podcast person at the Quaker school, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Please. Let's go on to Bay of the Week.
Woo! Oh, so I need everyone to go on Instagram and pull up this person.
Okay, okay, okay.
And then you will see.
Right,
I'm
going
to pull them up too, just because I like to look at them.
The king of Miami.
So my Bay of the Week.
There's a lot of heels and ass.
Is OMG, it's Alfie on Instagram, because that's where I live.
Mm-hmm. I thought you lived in Queens.
No, I live on Instagram. and I don't know how to describe him, but he is a work of art that I am fascinated by.
He's a chiseled. Wow. He's chiseled.
Despite the fact that he's gay and will never look my way in a sexual way.
Mm-hmm.
Or a romantic
never
way.
Never. Yeah, you never know that.
Never say never.
He is literally my aesthetic physical type.
Oh, that's what I want to look like.
and he's what Rob wants to look like. Oh, he is just this dark skin, chiseled, tall. I don't know terminology well, but would he be considered trade?
No.
Okay.
But that'd be like a
but
personal
like
thing. You couldn't tell that from somebody's like pictures.
Not in these outfits.
No. If he wanted to be trained, then anybody could be trained. That's what I mean. It's like he could definitely present very masculinely.
What I really loved is this picture here with him in the fishnet.
Oh my God, yes. That's what I was about to say. Yes. That's literally what I'm looking at right now.
I don't know what about it does something for
it's
me.
It's perfect. I think there's a lot of like lines amazing. And angles happening. Yes. It's well posed. It's just like
the fucking
the bottom is very like this is a bad bitch at the bottom, but the top is like, I want to jump on that nigga. Yeah, it's perfect. It's like
the perfect balance of feminine mask.
For some reason, there's,
like, it doesn't get overtly feminine, and it also doesn't get overtly masculine. It's like
androgynous.
Yeah, it's like a very weird like boundary of androgyny, but like a very overtly sexual kind of androgyny.
It's all sexual, I will say that.
Like a kind of androgyny you don't usually see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, my niggas.
I don't know. He has gold picks that he puts in his beard for no reason, but I'm not mad at them.
Okay, I'll pick your beard.
A lot of like ballerina feet, which I like.
Yes, some pointed ass toes. And just a lot of just, wow.
There's a lot of angles.
He got mad cheeks, boy.
Mad. The first thing I saw was ass and heels.
Oh my God.
I'm like looking at him.
I'm like going through his, and shaking my head for some reason. I'm just like, God damn. Sometimes I think like, how do people look this good? And it kind of makes me a little, and exist. It makes me angry a little bit.
At all times.
It's like, he's just, oh, this is a beautiful black man.
Thank you, Akua.
He describes himself as a carnival king, and I just love like watching his carnival.
How come I don't see him at carnival?
You gotta watch his highlights.
And which I just, carnival he be going to?
Probably Miami Carnival.
He's Haitian. Yeah, I was gonna say that. He's Haitian.
He's definitely Haitian.
He'd definitely be at Miami Carnival then. Yeah. He's a king of Miami. He'd be in the front of the road.
Yes, he does go.
He opens the road.
He is the road.
He's ready for the... Yeah, so that's my bae of the week.
Ooh. That was perfect, Akua. Thank you.
It's hot in here, y'all.
Yeah. We just... hot before, but now
My nipples are saucy. OD hard it's right now. Like, God. It doesn't mean that I'm, like, horny. It just means I'm very excited. Because I'm so excited.
I'm glad to know that about you now.
Friday, October 4th, 8:55 p.m. Rob's nipples were hard. Thank you, Akua. Let's go on to Hove of the Week now.
Some people paid us. Yes. We appreciate y'all. We do. Shout y'all out.
We always love that.
Our new Patreon subscribers are Samantha B.
Shout out to the Samanthas.
Carla P.
Shout out to the Carlas.
No. For paying us, but not for being a Carla. You only get shout outs for being a Sam or a Samantha or a Samuel.
Melissa C. and Ida or Ada J. Chris J. and Chris J.
And then there was also Carly, who had to cancel because something happened with her debit card. But I appreciated the fact that she was like, I have to cancel my Patreon, but I love what you guys do.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. I like open communication.
It's a literal relationship between us and the folks.
It is.
And I also, my bae is Love Always Ange, who is very vocal and active on our live. But also, we appreciate your interaction because it makes us feel like we're not talking to ourselves.
So every week before we go live on Wax for the recording, we actually go live on Instagram Live and you can check us out. Should probably put notifications up. I do it on my personal page, but I'll start doing it on the Inner Hall Uprising page. But yeah, thank you everybody who tunes into those. And they're a little bit less structured than a regular episode of Inner Hall Uprising because it's not an episode of Inner Hall Uprising. So if you see it and you're a little bit taken aback by the quote unquote disorganization, that is a note to you. Also, watch what you say on those because some things can be misconstrued as violent or objectifying. So be careful and remember that you are talking to real people who actually exist. Self-care tip of the week, it's completely blank, so...
Oh, wait, but I have one.
Okay.
Real fast. My self-care tip of the week is to beautify your home in a way that makes it peaceful to you. So if you guys haven't followed my story, I'm just on a path of like spiritual happiness because I know that my spirit is also very damp with a lot of negativity. And I knew that one part of that was that even though like I treat my home as like, that is like my shell. So, you know, I don't allow, most people have not been to my house. Most people I know, I don't know a lot of people, but most of them haven't been to my house. You know that I'll kick y'all niggas out when the clock strikes 9. I'm just very like, I'm very protective of my space because that's where I sleep. That's where I eat. And that's where my kids are. My kids being my dogs who lick their own coochies and assholes. But it just wasn't, it was like something missing. Like there wasn't like a very comforting aspect besides just like, I want to go back to my bed. So I actually stayed at this Airbnb with this this white woman on. I have to point that out. I don't know why it was relevant.
I thought you said
but
with this white woman.
No, like, absolutely wow. not. The white woman was not there. but the white woman owned the place. And it was a very nice home that she had. But one thing that like struck me that I was like, fuck, if I did not have to leave this shit, I wouldn't. She had so many candles. Mm. She had a lot of white pillow candles. And I was like, okay, I know she got money because these shits are not cheap. And she had like an arsenal I want to steal one, but I didn't because I'm not built like that. But she had so fucking many of them. So yeah. When I was taking like a shower, I would always light the candles before I go to sleep. Like I was in her fucking house, but I was like, it was my house. So I took that home with me and I brought 3 pillar candles, which is a lot.
You stole her bill. No, I'm just kidding.
Stop at 5. No, I bought with my own sad dollars.
Reparations at that point.
You're absolutely right. It's what's also something that crossed my mind. I was like, fuck, my boyfriend would be so fucking mad at me. So
no, I'm kidding.
You hard are, but I bought some candles. I bought like a thing for the candles to melt on, so I wasn't using like plates and stuff and keeping together. So I'm like, okay, that's something that is calming to me. It's natural, like fire. Like I love natural light, but then in the dark, like the my light bulbs just like kind of dreamy. I just feel like I have to do things when the lights are on. Like I just can't rest with lights on. But with the candles, I felt very calm. And then it also felt like, I mean, so I'm getting into like my spirituality, and I just felt very connected with earth when I lit the candles. And then I got some eucalyptus branches for like $3 from Trader Joe's. I tied that on my shower. For me, it's just like I felt so fucking connected with earth. But just really making the home your space, whatever that means to you, even if you don't have like a home, but a room, whatever you're occupying, whatever space you're occupying, like really making it a place that is soulless for you. Like you can really go and rest your head and like, the world is so fucking hard and negative. So you just draw the, like, you just leave that negativity outside of the home. And this is where you go to relax. Your home is where you go to lay down and relax. And you gotta, and then you leave and go deal with everything else afterwards. So, you know, that's my self-care tip of the week. Cause it's made me, I feel so fucking less stressed and it's nice.
Yay. Happy for you, Rob.
Thanks,
that was a good self-care tip.
We out here.
Home is where your heart is.
Mm-hmm. And home is wherever you make it. Home is where your hat, where you lay your home is where you lay,
yeah,
where you lay your hat. Papa Rosa Rolling Stone, wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, I don't remember the last
line. That's it.
The song actually ends there.
That's actually the entire song. It's those three lines.
When he died. And then that's why I stopped. It was not alive.
He's dead.
Bro.
Like, what else do you talk about? R.I.P.
R.I.P. R.I.P. just killed
him. R.I.P. That's our jam song.
Sorry. Cute date idea of the week. Akua, I don't know if you heard the last episode.
Oh,
but...
my God.
Oh, did. What happened?
So, last episode, me and Rob recorded by ourselves because Rodeca had to move and Akua was sick. I did not get you sick. It was a coincidence. I want you to know that. You got sick an hour into us being together.
I thought breath. Breathe it. Same Aaron Smith. She can say what she wants.
That's not how science works. But because I didn't see you contribute anything in the document, so I thought you were just like out for the count. And then when we looked in here, we saw these random the self-care tip of the week was mind your business.
Oh, it was mind your business.
And we thought like, that was a subliminal from a ghost.
Okay. And then with the worst case scenario shit was like, yo. And I was like, no, I could listen to episodes today. It's like, I thought you wrote that. You didn't write that. I didn't write that. You didn't. I was like, okay, so clearly it's a fucking ghost. This shit was mad fucking creepy.
We thought the wig god did it. We were really like, why are they so mad?
What do we do? Worst case scenario with mad demonic ass dates and shit. It was just
but
so
now
dark.
We know it was Akua, and we're very excited to hear what the fuck this is.
I was in Philadelphia, I guess 2 weeks ago, and I was strolling through the streets of Philly trying to get to the Rocky Steps.
Did you get there?
Yeah, we finally got
there.
Okay,
yeah, congratulations.
There. And I passed by what is the Franklin Institute, and it had this giant banner advertising the worst case scenario survival experience.
Sounds scary, but I'm rolling with you.
I saw it, and I was like, this is something Samantha would want to do. I gotta bring this bitch back.
Samantha has specifically said worst case scenario at least 20 times this year. Like those words together.
Have
you said it to me twice. You said worst case scenario, your parents just no longer talk to you anymore.
Oh, I did say that.
Yes, you said that twice to
you
me.
You gotta think ahead, man.
And it sounds like Samantha's preparation for the apocalypse.
I do want to go to a survivalist course. So
I thought of that. I was like, I gotta make a mental note, but then I also have to share it with the world. You
yes.
know? So what it is based on a book which I didn't know existed, a series of books which I didn't know existed, which is called The Worst Case Scenario Survival Handbook. book series published in 1999. And I guess, I don't know what that book, I don't know what the book was. I think it just like listed worst case. I don't know.
Like what to do if the all the lights, all the electricity in the world is done.
Real life scenarios that would happen, but just rarely. So what to do if you, fall into the Grand Canyon, what to do if your car rolls into a lake?
Probably. Oh, I see.
Literal worst case scenario.
On the cover of the book, it's like how to escape from quicksand, how to wrestle an alligator, how to break down a door, how to land a plane.
Oh, that's real. Wow. Yeah.
That's important because that's the stupid shit that you know would never happen to you, but you'd be like, that might happen.
Let me learn.
Literally, the how to land a plane. Because I know we all thought about how the oh my god, if something happens, there's only two of these niggas, and Rebecca's not there.
I was about to say,
but Rebecca's not there.
Nigga, do you know how to land a plane, bro?
Oh nah, I know how to get everybody out the plane, but I don't know how to land.
Oh nah.
So while the plane is mid-flight, she's literally getting everybody. Yeah,
we're just all hopping out.
It's like R.I.P.
R.I.P. just killed the clue.
So the survival experience is the is the institute's way of mimicking that in like real life training. And they describe it as a hands-on, minds-on, logical series of fun, immersive physical challenges, providing the essential instructions for what you need to know when facing unexpected but possible real life scenarios.
That's a good date idea, Kua.
So it's happening at the Institute from October 19th all the way till April of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy tickets through the franklininstitute.com. And if you're in the Philly area, you can go up to them niggas and buy tickets from them. But I thought about it and I thought it was a good idea because of Sam always trying to prepare me for the apocalypse, which I'm starting to
realize.
That's
why she's sick.
I'm not going to survive. Samantha's either going to have Akua to carry me or leave me.
I went camping with Akua, Akeem and Akua's son, and Akua was the she was the weakest.
Exactly. Samantha was
not even the child. It's usually always the child.
Out of the four
that holds
of you,
us back, it was Akua.
Nope.
Damn.
When the apocalypse comes, Samantha will either have to carry me or leave me where I am. That's
we'll see.
Like I'm giving
up.
See
how
then.
The wind blows, you know?
I'm giving up. Out. But I also, I'm all big on like experiential intimacy and getting to know people in like real life situations. So I would want to see a nigga, gender neutral term, I have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to see a nigga in these hard ass situations and see what their frustration tolerance is. See what they think,
true.
How they work in a
how
team.
How they work with you too.
How they
also.
Work with me in a crisis. Because what's going to happen in real life? Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And niggas will flake out on you.
Like,
niggas will
so
run around like headless chicken.
But yo, good luck with that alligator, bro.
Yeah. I'm smooth.
And then nigga old Deagle on Instagram, yo, rest in peace. Yo, I was just well.
He puts a fucking boomerang of you getting killed by the alligator.
I don't know. Like, we're gonna go there, but we're here
sorry.
Now.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
No, it's spooky season. Let's
that was
go for
a normal
it.
Thing to say.
Like what I like watching is videos of like haunted houses or something where couples go and you see the guy's reaction, whether they run or
he
they like carry
her in
you,
the way.
Push you in front, like oh,
nigga trips you.
So the ghost can get you while they run away.
But the ghost just goes over you and is violates that nigga. Like yo, what the fuck? You dad's gonna leave your shorty there?
Or those it's those prank videos where like the nun, the crazy nun or something will come out from like the garage and niggas would just take off running. And one time a nigga picked up his girlfriend and started running and I was just like, that's a nigga right
yeah,
there.
That's a real
keeper.
Nigga. That's a real
but
nigga.
Other niggas will leave you. So
that's
I need to see. I need to know what
that
I'm getting myself into.
Great idea.
So if you're in the Philly area, if this sounds fun to you, go check it out.
Yeah, that will be in the description of this episode. I want to piggyback off that in case you're not in the Philly area. If you go on NewYorkCityParks.com, which is basically the website for the New York City Parks Department, they do have survivalist courses. Somebody come with me, please. But they have survivalist courses like throughout the year that you can sign up for. And if you're not in New York, check your local parks department because they might have something like that too. Because, you know, the world be ending.
It do be ending.
It do be ending.
It do be ending.
You really got to prepare.
Yeah. So make sure you know how to start a fire, which I learned that that's pretty hard to do. Cool date idea. Let's plug some events now. And the gag is there are no events, niggas. Sex trivia is done.
That's it.
You're canceled. You're finished.
It's clip. But yeah, so we are this past sex trivia was the last sex trivia for the year. We'll come back next spring, so spring 2020. And if there is a certain borough or bar that you want us to do sex trivia at, we are open to suggestions.
Do you want to add something safe, simple, clean, non-toxic, and that smells good to your daily routine? Obviously, we're not talking about any man we've ever known. We're talking about Native. Native is a natural deodorant that is filled with ingredients found in nature, like coconut oil, shea butter, and tapioca starch. But it's also formulated without all that toxic stuff, like aluminum, parabens, or talc. So I ordered the lavender and rose. I was going to say flavor again.
It is a flavor because isn't this the horror episode? Not be eating people.
I ordered the lavender and rose scent. And what I really loved about it, it smelled amazing. It is a deodorant. It's not an antiperspirant. So it was good for me, but it was also good for my kid. So he's at this stage where he has budding body odor, but I'm
that little
very
boy stank a little bit.
But I'm very nervous about putting these chemicals in his armpits. You know, years and years of these chemicals can lead to things that affect your body. So and I don't want to start this young. Getting it and knowing that Native is only natural ingredients and doesn't have these things, I'm able and I still do put it on him, and I put it on myself.
That's a very sweet bonding activity. Yeah.
He be smelling good all day, I be smelling good all day. Mm-hmm. That should be lasting all day.
It really does last all day.
Like that is a scent that lasts all day. So, and just like I do, people love Native. They have over 8,000 five-star reviews. They come in a wide variety of enticing scents for all folks, not just the man smell. Mm-hmm. Like coconut and vanilla, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and eucalyptus and mint. And plus, they release new limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year. They also offer an unscented formula and a baking soda free formula for those with sensitivities. Mm. The best part is there's a no risk to try. They offer free return and exchanges in the USA. And Inner Hoe Uprising listeners get a special offer of 20% off their first purchase. You just visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code IHU during checkout. Again, our listeners get a special offer of 20% off. You just visit nativedeodorant.com and enter the code IHU at checkout.
That's I as in inner, H as in hoe, U as in uprising, and now pay a hoe. If you love, love, love this show and appreciate the hard work that we do to bring it to you every week, we would so greatly appreciate it if you supported us monetarily and non-monetarily. To support us monetarily, we ask you to visit innerhoeuprising.com and choose the Pay a Hoe Once or Pay a Hoe Monthly options. Pay a Hoe Once redirects you to our PayPal, where you can drop off any one-time donation at any amount that you want as many times as you want. So that takes you to paypal.me/innerhoe. It's kind of like we're fuck buddies and we just call each other up when we want to satisfy that itch. If you choose the Pay a Hoe Monthly option, you'll be redirected to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. On Patreon, you'll be given the option of setting a monthly recurring donation at any price that you want. And we'll return the favor with some monthly goodies, like we're in a committed relationship and we have some expectations for one another. So if you donate $2 or more a month, you get early and discounted access to Inner Hoe Uprising events. And if you donate $5 or more a month, you get, fuck that, a regular Inner Hoe Uprising newsletter curated by yours truly. It's fun, it's insightful, it's filled with offbeat stories about sex, love, and dating that you may have missed in the current drudgery of the news cycle. If you're strapped for cash or don't wish to support us monetarily, then there are other ways to help us out. You can leave an Apple Podcast review or a Stitcher review. You can comment on one of our episodes on SoundCloud or CastBox or Himalaya. You can tweet about us and tag us on Twitter or Instagram. You can reply to Twitter threads asking what your favorite podcasts are with our @. You can drop a link to your favorite Inner Hoe Uprising episode in your group chat. You can tell your work best friend to give us a listen. Or you can walk down the street rocking some Inner Hoe Uprising merchandise, which you can find on innerhoeuprising.com/merchandise. Now, let's get into this motherfucking show.
Thank you.
Fuck that. Ooh. It sounded like bad singers.
Hold on, do you guys remember the McDonald's tapes for Halloween? I'm fucking old as shit. They had cassette tapes from Halloween, and you put it in. It was like McDonald's characters singing like Monster Man. Happy Halloween!
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was a very flashbacky memory.
I've never heard of
you
that.
You took that way
well,
back.
Please validate me, y'all, if you ever heard of that.
All right. Anyway. So in this segment, you know, it's Halloween. For the rest of the month, we'll be talking to some people about, I guess, the occult is a term that we can use, spiritual things, spooky things, things related to horror. So stay tuned for that. But for this episode, we're introducing that with you. And, you know, we have our segment, which is called Fuck You, which is where we normally read you guys stories. This will be a little bit like that, but we're just reading random ass horror stories of any genre from across the internet. Akua, I would like you to start.
I can see that.
Okay. Akua is going to start. So we'll read the stories and then we'll all react to it just like fuck me. But, you know, spooky. Stick with us that here. Sometimes spooky, it's bro. Hard to make content, guys. Okay?
We be pulling things out of our ass.
Yes.
But it always fly.
I want live reactions. This is like, are you afraid of the dark?
Should I discuss the source of this Twitter thread or just jump in?
You shouldn't jump in and discuss the source at the end.
I'm going to try to read this and not sound like a 32-year-old librarian, but I cannot
promise
anything.
I thought
that's
what anything. You are, though.
I am. So rapper meets a chick on the grass. See, I can't do it. I can't read it.
But she said,
Alright, so rapper meets a chick on the gram. She gets flued out. He brought her a one-way flight to him in economy. He told her to buy her ticket back when she felt like going home. He promised they'd do a bunch of shit. Eat fancy dinners, take her to a party, etc. She was hype, back there in coach. I felt like that was shade.
Of course it was. You ain't find your first class, bitch.
When a rapper flies you out in coach, I'd personally be offended by that.
I guess.
I fly coach always, but I'm not a rapper.
Also depends on what bracket of rapper we're talking about.
Yeah, because if it's like a underground rapper, like... Coach is decent. Like
these
you
niggas
got
flew
out, bro.
Coach.
Okay.
Well, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
So, boom, the red flags. One, he told her to Uber from the airport to his studio, then he'd take her back to his house. So she pays for a $15 Uber to him. She gets there, and obviously they aren't letting some random groupie with luggage in. She calls him and texts him. No answer. So basically waits outside the studio with her shit for him to respond. And this bozo walks out the door like, my bad. No one told me you were here. Eventually, they leave the studio.
He's literally a man.
No one told me she was here.
She gets to his house. No lights, bro. Not a single bulb. Nothing. Inside or outside.
Nah.
Ooh.
Right?
How did it feel? It's pitch black.
Or outside. But she figured it was just because he's famous.
Okay, girl.
The red flags we justify.
Mind you, this nigga done walked halfway into the house before she even gets her bag out the car. And it's pitch black. And she's lost this nigga.
What? I'm sorry.
Wait, what is this reaction, Rob?
How do you lose somebody? You walk into their
it's
house.
It's that dark. Like, you don't know where that nigga went.
Ooh. This nigga just disappears.
Where did the nigga
she walks
go?
In the house and stands in the foyer and can't find him. She calls him.
Where are you? Are you? Are you? Are you? I'm in the foyer.
You got no furniture?
She calls him and says she just fucking knew there wasn't shit in the house because her voice had one of those haunted house echoes.
Really happened.
Hello, hello, hello.
Then she sees your couch, his couch, iPhone couch. Light up and he's like, my bad. Come put your stuff upstairs.
No, no. That means he was there?
Anyway, she said the bedroom was nice and it had an actual bed.
How could she see it?
The bar is on the floor, right? Just on the floor. He had an actual bed.
This nigga got a fucking bed frame, bro.
Anyway, they chilling and talking. He's got weed and liquor. He said he wanted to be low-key the first night because he was tired, so they ordered food and chilled. But she didn't want to eat and get bloated. So she ordered a bottle of Voss. I don't know what that is.
It's water.
It's an expensive water.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why that's all she ordered.
Water. And long story short, she made that Voss stretch 4 grueling days.
4 grueling days.
She said he stank.
Nigga stank.
Weed and ass. Weed and ass.
He had on cologne, but you knew it didn't cover 14-hour funk. Mm. And she offered to take a shower together, but he was like, nah.
Ugh.
Like, it's the wash.
And this next line.
And his breath smelled like a duck.
Absolutely not. That is my cue to go. So that stench is a very... You can't kiss with Dutch mouth, boy. You might as well smoke a Newport. I mean...
Ooh, but she let him be. I haven't heard that in a while.
You hate to say... Dun, dun, dun.
Right, that's the horror part of it. Nigga, fuck the ghost. This nigga's not even real.
He's an AI.
It was kind of trash because he came quick. So the next day he pops up like, hey, something came up real quick. I'll be back in a couple of days. Whatever you need, call me. That nigga didn't answer the phone not one time. He left at 11 a.m. on a Saturday and came back at 5 p.m. on a Monday. He's on Snapchat drinking and shit.
No, I'm reporting this man.
To who?
The authorities.
She's at this nigga's house alone. There's a couch, no stove, no fridge, nada. No running water.
The gag is, it's a couch. She walked into a couch.
His house is a really big couch.
It's one big ass couch.
How is there no running water?
I'm led to believe
this
that
is his trap house.
No, this isn't even a trap.
He's a squatter.
Yes, because Con Ed has not He's cut all the utilities in this
oh,
bitch.
That's why he ain't got
He's
no light.
He don't got no light. He's a squatter. He has not no water. He don't have there, my nigga. Her blood sugar is low and she's shaking because she hasn't eaten since before she left. She tries to order food. They can't get through the front gate of the community because security calls his phone and he won't answer. Saturday night, some people come over, basically have a party, and she tries to sneak and see if it's him.
What?
But I guess it wasn't.
Oh my God.
But it was a bunch of guys, so she couldn't go downstairs because she was scared. She's hid upstairs in an empty room because she thought someone would come into the one room with furniture. The last person left Sunday at 3 p.m.
Wow.
He responds to her 15 minutes later, apologizing and saying his house is being renovated. He finally orders her some food, never arrives. They fight. He books her a flight back home for Monday morning. As she's finding her way to the gate to the community, she's stopped by security and spends 20 minutes lying about why she's dragging a suitcase through the neighborhood. Misses her flight. She made it to the gate 5 minutes after the boarding door closed, so she's crying trying to rebook her flight, and she couldn't make it on the standby flights. So she's waiting and crying in the airport, and holy shit, she sees him walking through the terminal from his gate, and she calls for him and shit. He looks at her and keeps walking. The end.
Ooh. And then can you read this other tweet?
Someone put, not a fan of Future. Yeah, he's a ladies man. So I feel like he at least keep himself clean. Whoever it was disgusting in more ways than one. I don't know. Someone seems to think this is Future. Somebody said, automatically.
Oh, this person who did this said she wouldn't give a name, but the consensus is Future or Blueface.
I'm going for Blueface. I definitely see this being Blueface.
I'm definitely going for, because he looks like a nigga who stink.
I'm almost certain that Blueface does stink.
Yes, he looks like he smells like a Dutch.
And from Future's past activities, this just kind of seems like something that he would do. I feel like Future is mean to women just because he can be.
But like that mean though?
Yeah.
That's really fucked up. Like I can imagine like her blood
sugar. But Future would
OD
take her
dropping.
To a hotel, so that's why I don't
know. That's what someone said in the tweets. Now my thing is, it's they fight, he books her a flight home for Monday morning. But in the previous tweet, it said he didn't come back till Monday at 5 p.m.
There's obviously some inconsistencies here.
Inconsistency.
I mean, honestly,
it's a
the
Twitter
one,
folk tale.
We're debunking
it's
this.
It's a Twitter folk tale.
This was terrible. I got chills. I'm disgusted.
I don't know if this is 100% factual and this is like
but
a secondhand
story.
But I feel... I don't think that this is that far removed from people something that live, could actually happen.
People have lived through this. I don't care what anybody says. Like that, this has happened to somebody. This could be
a possible experience.
No, absolutely.
The scariest part was when random niggas came to have a party.
Yo, a party in the house.
I know you told me he's really doing that.
A party in wait, there's no lights. There's no light. Having a party in the nighttime.
I can also see niggas doing that.
How do you plug in the music?
Niggas got JBL.
That's a good point.
JBL be mad loud. We got the big shits. It's a fucking subwoofer.
I feel like there's a certain brand of niggas, and I mean that in the gender neutral way and the race neutral way, that just like do shit to get ass.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And this seems like the perfect haven for them to like get fucking people drunk and do whatever the fuck they want to do.
I'm not surprised.
Which I think is the horror element of this story, that niggas will dog people out just to fucking get what they want.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that it's like all that for some, like for one ass, for one
for a
ass.
Modicum of coochie.
A modicum.
But yeah, that fucking, is what niggas
like,
do.
Come on. That is just absolutely ridiculous.
Do niggas not do the most for one night of ass?
You're absolutely
fucking
right.
Do niggas not fake relationships for one night of ass?
Niggas perform Oscar winning performances of love and affection for one night of ass. For a fucking plink of ass.
Yeah.
Like
the horror in this for me was that this person was in another state.
Yeah.
They had no resources.
I just realized I forgot.
No supports. Could not leave this one room upstairs because random niggas up there.
And for 4 days, my nigga, honestly, at that point, I would have just had to call the cops.
Something that
food.
Like always happens in horror movies. Like I've been binging a lot of horror lately because it's October and I'm just a fan of horror. But like I've been watching the show called Two Sentence Horror Stories and it's actually really good. It's like all of the protagonists are women, which I think is interesting. And it's always like written from like the reverse male gaze. But every single time when the person is going through whatever the horror is, they have no fucking friends. They have like nobody to call upon. And that's like the scariest part to me because I'm just like, I can't even fucking fathom that. Like off rip, I have 10 people who I know that I will call right now. If a nigga is fucking stalking me, he might still kill me in the end, but I still called my people. They're just like out here struggling.
And we all have friends, like when we go places and shit, when we're meeting people for the first time, we always send like our location.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
we have friends to take care of
us. Yeah. Nigga, license plate numbers, a photo.
We also have friends who tell us not to do stupid shit like that. Like maybe if you talk to your friend beforehand, they'd be like, friends. This is a little weird.
Let's call the cops, boy. Take me out of the situation. I'm literally a fucking hostage.
Like,
like serious? No, serious. That for me is the scariest part. It's like you're literally a hostage because you have nothing. Like honestly, it's like who the fuck wants to ever call the cops? But on top of that, you might die. 4 days without water or food. You're very lucky to be alive.
I'm eating. I can't fathom a world in which I do not eat.
That's a coolest horror, ain't it?
It is.
That's the coolest, scariest part. So this is at Callie Kapowski, aka Jesse Smooye, and this was posted on September 24th, 2019 at 11:59 p.m., a minute before the witching hour, the blue face hour. Okay. This is called Viv's Revenge, or How the Duenne Came to Love Herself, by Deborah Providence. It takes place in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. So if you don't know, Juve is the official start of Carnival in the Caribbean at the dawn on the Monday preceding Lent. So that's like in Trinidad, but there's a whole bunch of different carnivals that take places at different times. And basically, Juve is the celebration that happens before a carnival. So traditionally, the celebration often involves calypso and soca bands and their followers dancing throughout the streets. People will dress up in like black paint and powder, and they look like duppies or ghosts. So that is the context where we're at right now. And usually it happens before dawn when it's like dark outside. Juve morning is when the angels and demons dance, Papa said. His words were on a loop in Viv's head as she made her way through the crowds on Back Street in Kingstown. Daylight had caught the night, melting dark tendrils until they turned gray. Their dance was such that you couldn't tell if day was coming or if night would stay. Somebody had to be you, and you were it. It was only at Juve that she could be her it. And Viv was playing herself like she meant it, jumping up and winding her waist and rubbing herself against the oily jab-jabs and trying to erase images of Bill grinding behind another woman on Soca Monarch night. Fuck Bill, am I right? She had taken a risk Friday night in the Moss tent, telling Bill about her family, about her papa, and all her sisters. She let him see her skin. Her real skin. She watched his face morph from disgust when he saw what she could do with her flesh, to horror when he saw her feet. She fell ill waiting for him to return her calls. "Forget him," Paulette said. "He wouldn't have gotten you, I mean us, anyway." "Well, I just wanted to share for once," Viv frowned. She stared at a bowl of buttercup petals and a plate of aloe gelatins that Paulette had prepared. Viv stuffed the petals into her mouth and she tried to swallow without chewing too much. Yellow pigment surfaced from her brown skin, spreading in fat blotches. After the buttercups came the aloe. She glanced at Paulette, who smiled with her annoying older sister serenity. Viv groaned and slurped the translucent gelatin. "Somebody had to be you, and you are it." Papa's voice drummed in her head. The fat yellow splotches on her skin were visible in the gray morning light. With her green tube top and shorts, she looked like any member of the painted Juve bands that were in Moss on the streets of Kingstown. Viv leapt in the 4-day false light, gyrating when she landed, tossing her head, her plaits whipping across her face. She was not minding anybody, and she was not on anybody's mind, except for one stray policeman. "Hey, pretty green girl," he hustled over, trying to keep up with her danse macabre. His voice barely reached her through the din. "Your breasts are bouncing nice in that top." He was a lean fellow in his Defense Forces jungle camouflage, scarcely in his 20s. She slowed to a jig. "What you say?" "I say I just want the breast, nothing else." He leaned in, bringing his mouth close to her ear. "They look like mangoes when you jump up like that." He reeked of spirits. Still in her jig, she grabbed her breast and sank her fingers deep into the fleshy bases. She wrenched them from her chest, fist right and then left, which took longer because it was slightly larger, and presented the camouflage officer with two perfect imperial mangoes slathered in gouts of blood and mucus. The policeman froze. He stared at Viv with her bloody hands outstretched. He stared at the mangoes, their green skins gleaming even through the red. He turned to see if anyone else witnessed what he was sure he couldn't be seeing. Jab Jab Nation was blasting from a nearby truck. People were jamming to the music. Nobody noticed him or the wild girl in the yellow paint. "Here," Viv thrust them at him. "What you expect, silicone?" His eyes were fixed on the dripping patches of red on her chest. Viv stuffed the mangoes into his pockets and wiped her hands down the front of his uniform. "Can't please people," she muttered, and resumed dancing until she reached the memorial hall. Paulette was waiting for her. "Had fun?" Her voice bore a hint of amusement. Viv grinned. "You know he got off easy." Paulette smiled. She glanced at the new imperial sprouting from her sister's chest. "Yeah, I know. I don't think Bill could have managed you at all." Viv laughed. The tendrils of the night were retreating. Dawn had taken over. For now.
That was lit. I want to know who what the character is. Like,
okay, so the story is called Viv's Revenge, or How the Duen Came to Love Herself. So the Duen is something that exists in Trinidadian folklore, and typically it is the lost souls of children who were not baptized or christened before death. And it's said that they have like backwards feet and they're like trickster characters, so they fuck with people on purpose at the like at the direction of their papa.
Got it.
What I didn't know about the Duen, and this might have just been this author's artistic rendering, is like that they can like morph apparently and just like take off their titties and throw it at niggas.
Take off their titties that make a mangoes. Yeah. And throw them at niggas.
But still with blood on it. But
and then grow new titties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Ew.
I like horror that terrifies men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so that was very nice.
When he was commenting on her breasts, I was like, I wish she could take them off. And then
you
she did.
You thought that? Yeah. Cool. Are you a Duen?
And then she did. And I was like, oh, I like where this is going.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Like if a nigga street harassing you,
when a nigga street harassing
you, that ass is fat though, and then you just take your ass off and throw it at
ass when that nigga is shook.
Yeah, you want it?
That's what you asked for. Like, now what do you do with this? Now you have it.
Keep it in your pocket.
You wanted it so bad, right?
Here it is.
I'm going to fuck your ass.
I have another story that's kind of in that same vein, but I won't read it.
Blood gaping from my ass, and he's just like, "Oh,
okay."
I'm turned on.
I want to scare men. So yes, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It was just very like I get it. Like how the duet came to love herself, because it's like a little empowering. Like, oh my god, this man doesn't love me as I am, and I just wanted to show him who I was. And then it's like, oh no, men are trash.
Yeah, exactly. The moral to every story, like, actually.
Men are trash. Yeah. Men are all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Across generations. Mm-hmm. Across nationalities.
Young men, policemen.
Yeah.
That was a policeman.
That
right?
That was another good part of it.
That was
fucking
policeman?
With a policeman. Yes. Yeah.
Not just any man, but the man.
Yeah.
Going to meet the man.
Yeah.
Going to meet the man with my mango breasts ripped from my chest, first left, then right.
I like how one city was bigger than the other city.
Because that's how titties be.
You call that bitch Biggie Smalls. That's what you got to do.
Out.
So that was written by Deborah Providence. And Deborah is from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. She has published fiction and poetry in POUI, the Cave Hill Literary Annual and Sable Mag. Her work has also been featured in the Anthology of Venetian Women Poets and Visual Artists titled Seen and Heard, as well as Coming Up Hot, 8 New Poets from the Caribbean. And this is all curated on a website for the bookstore called Akashic Books. Akashic Books is a Brooklyn-based independent company dedicated to publishing urban literary fiction and political nonfiction by authors who are either ignored by the mainstream or who have no interest in working within the ever-consolidating ranks of major corporate publishers. So I kind of want to go there now.
Yeah.
And just get some good-ass, creepy-ass books. By some people of color and shit like that.
My story, I don't know if y'all niggas read, well, you didn't read it. I don't know if the rest of you niggas read it. It's called Addicted by Zane. Oh my God, that's so crazy.
I don't usually like Zane books, but.
Okay, well, I read that
shit
when I was like.
I just never even tried.
I read it when I was like 10.
Yeah,
those
were like literally.
Yeah, that's when I read them.
Yeah,
at
11 and 12.
Yeah, I read that shit and I was like,
I wonder if Zane knew that her biggest audience was fucking preteens.
Yeah, I don't know. But so this book Addicted, like, okay, it's a whole actual novel. So if I'm gonna give you
came out in 1998. You were 7?
It came out when I was 7, but I didn't read it till I was 10.
So much better.
Yeah. But that means I actually read a pretty new book at that. Wow. But I was a very avid reader as a little nigga, and my mom had this book. It had a very interesting cover, and I picked it up. I read it from front to back to front, over and over and over again. Because it was, as a kid, it was a very good book. As an adult, it's a very good book that you got to read at least once to say you fucking did it. And if you never touch it again, that's fine. But basically, Zane is an erotic author, so she writes this erotic novel that's also kind of like psychological thriller, horror novel. It has very strong, very, very strong elements of erotica, and also elements of, like, you know, fucked up things that really be happening, like a domestic violence, like stalking, and a lot of death. And so the premise of the book is you have Zoe, who's the main character. She is a very sexually curious child. And there's a boy that, like, I think he lives next door named Jason, who she's like in love with. Eventually, after many, many years, she loses her virginity to him. And that's the only person she's had sex with for most of the novel. They're high school sweethearts. They end up getting married. They have kids. They both start individual businesses. They build a house. Like, the actual, that's what I mean. It's like unrealistic, because it's like the perfect fucking love story. Like, way too perfect. It's very weird. But then she begins to have extramarital affairs. So first with one man, with two men, and then the last one was a woman. So the book goes back and forth between her encounters and her guilt. And then towards the end of the book, it gets very dark. Well, so first, I'm going to read you an excerpt from the erotica part. Mm. So you can see why the kids were a
little hot.
This heavy. Better make my pussy wet. Otherwise, I'll be like, I don't know.
I don't know if it will now.
Now I'm just like.
But return yourself back to a young Samantha.
Okay.
The young Samantha was humping pillows. And then.
Oh my God.
Stuffed animals.
Stuffed animals.
Thank you very much.
So this is her talking to her partner,
partner Quentin, who's her favorite partner. Listen, Quentin, I didn't come here for this, for real. Then look me in the eyes, Zoe, and tell me you don't want me. He and I gazed at each other, and I wanted to tell him I didn't want him, but the words wouldn't come. Enough said. We already crossed the line the other night, Zoe. There's no turning back now. We need to finish these feelings. Quentin got me totally undressed and then removed all his clothes as well. The neon sign at the hotel across the street was blinking steadily, and flashes of red outlined his body as he stood at the foot of the bed. He spread my legs open with his hands, and after that, we didn't say a word to each other. We just fucked. He ate my pussy again and then stood on the edge of the bed. I figured out he was waiting on a blowjob, so I complied and loved it and loved sucking it. When he came in my mouth, I was in heaven and probably moaned louder than he did. He started fucking me. This man's a stallion. And by the time Quentin And by the time Quentin fucked me for 20 minutes, I was a maniac. Wow. I began to think my lack of experience showed, especially when he pulled me on top of him and I froze. I had no idea how to ride a dick. I was used to the missionary position only. I gave it a try. He helped me by guiding my hips up and down until I got the hang of it. I had remembered reading somewhere to tighten my muscles while I'm on top, and I did that. He started moaning real loud while I contracted my pussy muscles on his dick. I was so proud of myself. It may sound silly, but being sexually repressed as long as I was and finally getting fucked the right way twice in 1 week was one of the most stimulating events of my life.
Okay. I mean, it was... I still don't like the
words. I told you, as a kid...
Yeah, I'm like, as a kid, I can see me going like, oh my God.
And I'm sure... Yeah. I wasn't going to like... Adult, I'm like okay. I wasn't going to reread this whole fucking novel because absolutely not. However, there are scenes that are a bit more descriptive, but that is one of the ones where she's like expressing like her admiration for this man because she begins to like really develop strong feelings that are romantic and sexual for him.
And then she finds out...
Now, like the horror part of this book is that it turns out that Quentin, her most prized lover, is a sociopath.
Ooh. I thought all men were sociopaths, right?
Well, he's a sociopath who also murders.
Oh.
Because not all men murder.
Really?
Not all men are murderers like this man, at least. So he ends up killing two of her lovers. Actually, so kills two of her lovers, kills her husband's assistant. He's just killing niggas, kills two cops.
Yeah, what did she do?
He's just out on a rampage. Oh, because he's trying to get to her. So
Is he mad at her?
Oh, he's pissed because she broke it. So basically she breaks it off. She's like, okay, I feel so bad because one of her lovers confronted her husband. So
messy.
Mad messy. She fucks all these niggas, gets all these tricks. He forgives her. They start having new special sex. And then people start dying. And like start dying and ODB dying. So they're like, okay, they go into witness protection.
ODB
right, because the exes, because a lot of people around her was dying. They're like, okay, you need like extra special help, so they go like into the house. Okay? They go to a house in like the woods, and they got the cops outside or whatever, you know. And they're like, oh hey cops, da da da. And they just fucking having the grand old time, and then Quentin,
she fucked the cops.
No, like, her and the husband, because they made up.
Oh, okay.
He knows everything, and
oh, he knows about all her lovers.
Yes, so, okay. And they become stronger than ever, which is actually a kind of cute thing to happen. Because he's like, she's like, oh, you know, I have an addiction that I'm trying to be treated for. Like, it's not just me. I don't know. I'm like this.
They practice open communication.
So then we find out that Quentin is killing all of these people.
He's pissed.
He's like, you didn't tell me that your husband was Jason, because him and Jason worked together on a project. He found out who Jason was. He's like, you didn't tell me that you had this good man, this great man, and you cheating on him with me.
Wait, so what is he mad at?
I think he's mad at
everything.
Yeah, he's mad at the whole situation.
Why do you want me, nigga? Like, I don't want you to want
I'm
me.
Trash,
I'm
bitch.
Mad at you.
You cheating on Jason?
But more than anything, like, you had me smiling in his face.
Oh, you had me looking stupid out here.
Yeah, that's what it is. You had me looking crazy.
You had me looking dumb out here, so I'm going to kill all these niggas.
You had Jason coming to me as a motherfucking nigga in my fucking DMs.
Dapping me up.
We sit here laughing and joking, talking about the bitches we fuck. And I'm talking about you.
I fuck Sandra. Oh, I fuck Sandra too. Must be a different Sandra.
It's Zoe.
Sorry.
But same difference, because she's wilding right now. But here we are. So he's killing everybody. So then he breaks into the crib, right?
He killed all the cops. What is this nigga packing?
But let me get to the part where he kills
the husband's assistant, because this is where this shit is mad fucking crazy. I was like, I think they made a movie about it, but it was
starring Boris Kojo.
And yeah. I was like, this sounds like a Tyler Perry movie. He it probably was. Directed it.
I thought it was a Tyler Perry movie.
I only watched literally 10 minutes of it. It was fucking horrible. Don't watch the fucking movie.
Just listen to Rob's recap of it.
Yeah, listen to my recap and then just read the book so you can form your own little very movie in your head, because there's mad exclamation points in this book.
Oh no.
Which is like, so you can form a real excited movie.
This was directed by the same person who directed Unbreak My Heart and He Wasn't Man Enough for Me. Those videos.
Oh, I was like, those are movies?
Yeah, I was like,
Toni Braxton saw a movie? All right, cool. I called Detective Wilson. He yanked the phone up on the first ring after I was connected to his desk. Miss Raynard, I have some extremely disturbing news for you. Jason was sitting beside me on the couch and holding my hand while the sheriff and his deputy paced back and forth, seemingly more nervous than anyone else. So I heard, Detective, what exactly happened to Allison and what does this have to do with me? Miss Morton was discovered by her boyfriend a few hours ago. He went over there and used his key to gain entry when she failed to show up for a date. He found her hanging from the piping in her basement apartment. He paused before adding, she'd been gutted like a pig. What? I started trembling and Jason kept asking me what the detective was saying. I told him I would fill him in when I got off the phone. Detective, that's horrible, but her death might not have anything to do with me at all. Dempsey's dead, remember? Yes, I remember. I identified that bastard's body at the crime scene myself. So what makes you think this involves me? I was on the edge of my seat, nervously waiting his answer. I could guess you could say the writing on the wall was a dead giveaway. What writing on the wall? There was a silence on the other end of the phone. Detective, it was written in Miss Morton's blood on her bedroom wall. What was? Zoe is one dead bitch. With an exclamation point.
Quentin is not a very subtle guy, huh?
And it's like the amount of exclamation points. So it ends because, he breaks into the home. Quentin breaks into the home where Jason and Zoe are staying at. And he's like saying all these things like, I thought you loved me. You got this man over here. Da, da, da.
But Jason's a good guy.
Jason's a great guy. And apparently he's very attractive, which I don't know. That makes him
Quentin wanted to be in a polyamorous relationship with all of them, but he doesn't know how to express himself.
So he's going to kill everybody.
Yeah, he should listen to Anna Hall of Rising. Listen to polygamy. Yeah.
Listen to polygamy Quentin. Because apparently Quentin did not, I mean, he didn't die. He's in a psychiatric ward. So he could probably listen to his podcast. But yeah, he's in there and he's mad. He knocks Jason unconscious and Zoe's like coddling Jason like, oh my God, baby, are you okay? And then he's like, Zoe, come over here. And she's like, damn, I gotta leave my boyfriend, my husband, but maybe one of us will live because we got kids. The husband gets up and knocks Quentin unconscious and like beats the shit out of him. She's like, Zoe, babe, he's down, it's all right.
Exclamation point.
I love you, exclamation point. I love you too, always and forever. All these exclamation points as this man is laying bleeding all over the floor. So this part is after Quentin's arrested. They found more than a dozen bodies buried in shallow graves in the train yard where Quentin painted his first mural, the mural of the perfect family he wished he had. Along with Tyson and Diamond, Tyson is one partner and Diamond is the other partner. They also identified the bodies of Quentin's brother and sister using dental records they obtained from a court order. Two additional bodies are believed to be those of his father and stepmother. Quentin admitted killing them on the one-year anniversary of his mother's suicide. Quentin is permanently confined in the criminally insane ward of St. Elizabeth's Hospital. They are still trying to get him to reveal the identities of his other victims, but he refuses. However, all of the remaining victims are believed to have been young females. So yeah, he paints this mural, and he never showed anybody this mural, right? It's like a mural like under a trestle by some train tracks, and he takes Zoe there like on one of their first dates to show her this mural, and then she's like, okay, like what the fuck is this? And he's like, oh, like, he's mad, I never show anybody this, da da da. And it's like, okay, so what is it? Oh, it's my perfect family, right? Mad creepy. And then eventually they have sex on top of, like, by this mural, and then it turns out that he had all these bodies buried under that mural, and they're on top of his brother, his sister, and his father, his stepmother, and like mad other young female victims. And then in the scene where he's talking about all these things, I think he said that, like, yeah, we fucked on top of my parents, what's up?
Should have stayed with Jace.
This is actually apparently Zane's best known novel.
I know very few people who have not read it.
So Zane is the pseudonym of Christina Lefern Roberts, author of erotic fiction novels, best known for her novel Addicted, aptly told to us by Rob. She went to Howard University and has been writing since 1997. She began writing erotic stories to pass the time after her children went to bed. She was living in North Carolina and working as a sales representative, and the stories developed following on the internet, and she self-published The Sex Chronicles before landing a publishing deal with Simon & Schuster.
I've read that too. You read The Sex Chronicles?
I've read all of Zane.
Okay. Oh, so you knew Addicted. You haven't read it in a while.
I do not remember it being.
Yeah. It's because it's a lot. Now, Sex Chronicles is nothing horror about it, but it's some good ass black erotica. That shit, because it's short, it's like really short chapters of just straight up black erotica, and that shit is
quite hitting.
Yep.
I do want to say that I can't say it didn't give me a negative idea of what sex work, because there are like these rapey parts that are meant to be tantalizing in a way.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got like much older now where I'm like, that is rape.
You're like, mm-hmm. He took her.
That is not. Chill
a little bit. Like, that happens a lot.
Nobody should be taking you anywhere. Like, that's not what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, other than that, yeah, like you really got to fill in your imagination in a healthy-ish way. Mm-hmm.
You get to see it the way that you think it should look like.
Yeah.
Because there's no visual cues to show you that.
Yeah.
There's nothing for you to hear. You just hear moans and groans. You don't hear, come inside of me. It's nothing fake like that. It's just really, I don't know. When I read black erotica, like when I read that and like a couple of the scenes when I was going through it, I was like, oh no, this sounds a lot like the sex that I have. When I watch porn, I just does not look like sex to the ass. No. We're a lot less coordinated than that. We be hitting each other in the fucking face. Yo. We be laughing. We be stopping.
Sometimes,
we be going.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone's favorite story. Scariest thing.
It's got to be that Twitter shit. The part where that nigga was in the dark in front of her and was like, my bad.
That really got
it seemed thing. Like he wanted to scare her at that point because he just wasn't saying anything.
I think he did want it to horrify her a little bit.
That has to be it.
He might have hidden cameras up in there just like, look at this bitch. It was the Truman Show.
Starve.
It was the Truman Show.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
That's pretty scary, yeah.
No, my favorite is Sam's. I'm definitely, I'm feeling this, especially like Caribbean folklore. Like,
yeah,
it's very wild because us as like first gen American niggas, like you really do miss that part.
Mm-hmm.
But then you hear it from like your parents. Like, mm-hmm. I hear that shit from my grandma. So it's very interesting.
And then
to hear.
Took my titties off. Sorry.
Wow. Relax. Now, because in Guyana, they have shit called like Jumbi, which is like evil spirits and stuff that like take form of things, and she's like, I hear the shit coming out of your fucking paintings, rip them shits off the wall. Mm-hmm. So it's like very interesting to hear a story from Caribbean folklore, which is still like, you don't have to be Caribbean to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly there's some little hidden gems in there.
What is Juve? Yeah.
But I like that, and it's like, you know, that just made me feel good. It was, mm-hmm. a good short story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, that shit really ended though.
Yeah,
it didn't have to.
I just want
to
see her terrorize, rip other parts of her body off.
Yeah, I would love to see her rip her clitoris off and go, this is where it is, and then put it in the nigga's hand. Can you find it now? And then he's
put
like, oh fuck.
I love that.
And then another one grows back. No,
that's,
it's fine, because
so
it's going to grow back.
Yeah, it's going to grow back.
And she's clearly like one of the most powerful fucking femme beings on earth. It's not going to hurt.
Some fucking nigga is like, can I get some head? And you take your head off and throw it at him.
And yeah. Literally
throw
like,
it at
like
his
a
dick.
Bowling ball. And, oh.
Akua, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part was actually going through memory lane, listening to Addicted.
Aw.
Those are the good parts. Those are some of the good parts of my childhood. Because I retreated in books. I read everything from the dictionary to
facts.
Encyclopedias.
Encyclopedias. And I actually think books like that were the last thing I read for leisure before I like started higher education, and it ripped the soul of reading out of me.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that's like junior high school into high school. So That was nice. I like that. That made me feel all warm inside.
And it's I'm so happy that I got to connect with a fellow Zane, child Zane reader.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for sharing all of your horror stories. I really enjoyed this episode. The entire episode.
Yeah. Aww. Ooh. Ooh. Spooky ass bitch.
Okay, where can the people find us on social media?
If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inaho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our community on Facebook. I don't know how to do that. Where they do that at?
You go to Inaho Uprising Community.
Haha.
Spelled with a U because it's a pun for come. Community.
That's also on Facebook. You answer the questions and then we decide if we let you in. And you can go to InahoUprising.com to pay a hoe and check out merch. You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
And you could follow me, Rob, at RobD_God on Twitter, Clint.Yeetwood on Instagram. I had to emphasize it this time. And Vanta.Black with a Q for my Artstagram. New art is coming.
SlamRid Instagram and Twitter, Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos.
And The Darkest Timeline on Instagram. That's it.
And in life.
Yeah.
Thank you. Got a Twitter. You posted all 5 tweets last week.
Oh, and for the 5 tweets that I posted last week, it's Rebby or not.
Okay, that's good content.
They were funny. They were like a funny 5 tweets. And then shout out to you.
Sorry, thanks.
Ooh. Happy Halloween.